Tonight, I want to explain the third echo. The third sutra we chant in every morning is Sandokai. We chant originally. We chant it in Sodo, patriarchs, where our patriarchs are enshrined. According to Chinese books about rules of Zen monastery, the patriarch building or hall is left hand side of the hatto. And there were they enshrined their Buddha, and the other side, right hand side of the building, Bodhidharma was enshrined. And Hyakujo also enshrined, right hand side of the, you know, if this is building, Hatto is here, and right hand side as you enter. The building is left hand side as you enter. This is Hatto. Like this. And left hand side as you enter, there is Buddha. Patriarch's hall, and here they enshrined Kyakujo and Bodhidharma this side, and there's a side of the building, and they enshrined their resident priests. That was according to the record, that was how they enshrined patriarchs. In Japan, instead of as it is difficult to have so complete, perfect building. So we have in Buddha Hall, we have patriarchs for most temple. In Eheiji, we have special building. But there we enshrine patriarchs, Bodhidharma, and Dogen Zenji, and successive patriarchs or masters for that temple. And there, when we observe very formal service, like memorial service for patriarchs, we observe the ceremony in that building. But usually we observe all the dedication in Hatto, the main building, center building. Here is Hatto, and this is Hatto, this is Butsuden, this is Hatto. Some main gate is here. And this side there is kitchen, and this side there is zendo. And we observe every morning dedication for the patriarchs. In Buddhism, especially in Zen, we, you know, we have special feeling to our patriarchs. Buddha, you know, according to our teaching, Buddha is someone who passed away more than 2,500 years ago. But Buddha's spirit will last forever as long as we have descendant of the Buddha, a disciple of Buddha, a successive patriarchs. So actual, you know, Buddha is your teacher. This is our belief. And you will be the Buddha too. And strictly speaking, each one of us is Buddha. Buddha's spirit, you know, it's the spirit which will last forever. Why, you know, Buddha's spirit is immortal? It's because his spirit is supported by every one of us and everything. And his spirit is supported by every being. So Buddha's spirit is always with us and with all beings. That is how Buddha's spirit is supported. That is what actually mean by absolute spirit, absolute Buddha. So Buddha can be once Buddha can be a Gautama Buddha. But year after year, when time changes, next Buddha will appear. And incessantly, forever, Buddha's spirit will appear. When we realize this truth completely, we, each one of us, become Buddha in its true sense. Each one of us is Buddha objectively and subjectively. When you acknowledge yourself as the son of Buddha, how you can acknowledge yourself as son of Buddha is through your teacher. We say we can transmit our teaching from warm hand to warm hand, without any cessation, without any hindrance, to be completely one with your master is how to be a Buddha. Buddha said once, according to Mahaparinibbana Sutra, you should rely on self-right of self. And you should rely on light of Dhamma. So we call Hotomyo Jitomyo. Hotomyo is Dhamma lamp. Jitomyo is light of self. Self lamp. Originally, self lamp, and there's no difference between self lamp and Buddha lamp. But so how to we must depend on ourselves. He always taught us to depend on ourselves. We should not depend on someone else. And you yourself is someone whom you can depend on. Without depend on yourself, how is it possible to find out someone, something who can depend on? He says in Dhammapada, you yourself is refuge for yourself. You yourself is something which you can depend on. Without depend on yourself, how is it possible to find out something to depend on? Only you is something which you can depend on. So we call it Jitomyo, lamp of self. Hotomyo means a lamp of Dhamma. Dhamma, in its wide sense, everything, various beings. And it, in its narrow sense, Buddha's teaching. Buddha's teaching, as I said now, is immortal because it is manifestation of the real truth which exists with everything, which is supported by everything, and at the same time which is supporting by supporting everything. So everything is supported by Dhamma, and Dhamma is supporting everything. So Dhamma is everything, and everything is Dhamma. So Dhamma and teaching is one. That is our conviction, our faith. And it is actually so. That is why we transmit our lamp to others. You may say, if everyone has his own lamp, there will be no need to transmit the lamp to others. But even though you have it, if you don't feel you have it, it doesn't make sense. How you have the feeling of having Dhamma lamp within yourself is through your teaching, your teacher. So transmission of Dhamma means to find your own lamp through your teacher. That is transmission. Due is to give transmission, or sometimes to receive transmission. Due. Receive. This is hand. To accept something is due. And to offer something is also due. And due means realization in Buddhism, in Zen Buddhism. Due means realization. So due equals kaku. Kaku means sometimes enlightenment or realization, or to realize something. That it is so. It's kaku. So to when you receive, how you receive transmission from your teacher is to realize your own nature, your own land, through your teacher. Even though you read Buddha's saying 1,000 times, Buddha is already passed away. You know, he is not here. You may say, his spirit is here, you may say. But we do not believe in some spirit like, you know, like something, jewel or burning fire, you know, in the air, floating in the air. Do not believe in Buddha's soul in that way. Buddha is always with us. That we, you know, realize our true nature is to realize Buddha's nature. So you realize Buddha nature is the true evidence of the Buddha's presence. When you realize Buddha is here, when you don't realize there is no Buddha for you, even though it is, he is here, if you don't realize it, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I had this evening a treat of Japanese noodle with our guest. Noodle is something which is supposed to be wrong. But my lecture is supposed to be short, you know. Noodle is very good noodle, it is very long. And if it is not so good, it is very short. So I think my lecture is not so good, so it should be short, you know. So I'm trying not to make it, you know. It is not possible for bad noodle to be wrong, you know. So my lecture for tonight will be very short, especially after having a good noodle, which is very long. But our transmission should be very long, very long, long, long one should be. And our transmission is special noodle. Dogen Zenji said, when we realize Buddha nature, you know, you are the teacher. A teacher of your master, too. And you will be even a teacher of Shakyamuni Buddha. When you attain enlightenment, Shakyamuni Buddha could be your disciple. And it is very much so. So our noodle has no end. Circle. Our noodle is circle. So it is difficult to eat. You know, if noodle is very good. When you eat it, you know, when you sip it like this, you know, even though the end of the noodle is arrived at your tummy, the other end should be here. If it is good noodle. But Buddha's noodle is no end. So there's no way to eat. You know, you cannot see and you cannot eat. The only way to eat that noodle is to become noodle. That is the only way. When you become noodle, you don't know which is end and which is the beginning and which is the end. That is, you know, Soto Zen noodle, special noodle for us. So in here, you know, we dedicate Sandokai for our teachers. And after Sando and reciting the sutra, we have a kind of invocation to recite names of patriarchs from Shakyamuni Buddha to us. I'm supposed to be 79th generation from Buddha. If Bodhidharma is 28th patriarch from Buddha. Historically, we don't know. We have no accurate record for that. But almost, it is supposed to be so. And Dogen Zenji is the 51 patriarch from Buddha. Nyojo Zenji is 50. And, after Dogen Zenji, in my lineage, we count 20, as I am 69, how much? Anyway, I am 79. If I must say, if Bodhi Dharma is 38 petals. Why I say so is I am not so sure, no one is so sure that if Bodhi Dharma is exactly 28 petals from Buddha. But after Bodhi Dharma, it is clear. Our lineage is very clear. There is no doubt that Dongyen Zenji is the 51st patriarch from Buddha. So the center of the third dedication is actually the most important dedication for each one of us. And first one and second one is, first one is for, you know, Buddha as you know, as we are one of the schools of the so-called Soto school. And as a school of Buddhism, we have some special we have objects of worship, which is Buddha. And, you know, Buddha and Dogen Zenji and Keizan Zenji in Japanese song. But here we, as I said before, here we recite sutra. First of all, Buddha and the first patriarch of China, Bodhi Dharma, and first patriarch of Japan, Dongyen Zenji. That is what we recite. As the most formal, you know, dedication. The next is for the Arahats, as Buddha's disciples, which is Arahat in primitive Buddhist Buddha's age, original Buddhist time, Buddha's time. But this one, the third one, is directly related to us. Actually, each one of us having dedication for ourselves. And the third one is, I think, you know, the most important dedication for each one of us. What we say is quite simple, you know, with the merit of reciting Santokai. We dedicate to Patrick and we decide names of Patrick. That is what we do. Here I have some difference to this lecture. Dogen Zen said in his Chobo Genzo, first guru of Patriarch, my teacher Tendo Nyojo Dai Osho, when I waited for the my teacher Tendo Nyojo old Buddha Dai Osho, he bowed those Patriarchs. Those Patriarchs is he said before Buddha seventh, after in India until Bodhidharma we have 28, and in China 22, and until Tendo Nyojo, my teacher. I waited for my teacher, and I could bow to those teachers. It means that Buddha bowing to Buddha, and each patriarch Buddha. The Yuibutsu Yobutsu, four characters, but this, if you explain it, it is very difficult to explain. Only Buddha and Yuibutsu, only Buddha. Yobutsu means with Buddha, only Buddha and with Buddha. It means that you are Buddha and I am Buddha. When you are Buddha, you know, I am not Buddha, you are Buddha. When I am Buddha, you are not Buddha. So, each one of us are Buddha. So, you can say, you and me are Buddha. And sometimes you can say, I am only Buddha. So he said, you need to see him. This is his technical stuff. Only Buddha. Only Buddha. I am only Buddha. It's not perfect. Sometimes, when I am Buddha, you are not Buddha. But we are, two of us, Buddha. Do you understand? You need to see us. You may say, difficult for you to understand the idea of transmission. Why it is difficult is, when you say transmission, you think as if you have something to transmit. It is traditional way of observing things, or traditional understanding of Buddhism or something. You understand in that way. So there must be something to transmit. But I don't want that kind of old tradition. That way, what you may say. Because you have, when you say, we say transmission. You think there is something to transmit. And your teacher is someone who transmits something to you. So if you receive transmission, you should obey completely, to your teacher. So you should do things exactly as your teacher did. You will have that kind of idea. So that is why it is difficult to accept transmission. But between teacher and disciple, if disciple receive transmission, he is a teacher, not me. But sometimes I may be a teacher. When disciple bow to me, I am apparently a teacher. Even though two of us different person. Those with different character, with different way, you can express the Buddha's way. And when you express Buddha way, in your own way, then your way includes everything, including your teacher. So. To have vivid and refreshed way of expression of our true way. So, disciples cannot be
disciples' way cannot be exactly like teacher's way. But there must be some similarity. But even though they are similar, actually what they will do is quite different. Teacher and disciples usually speak, you know, same language. I don't mean Japanese or American, you know, English language. Language, by language, I mean you. This kind of language. No. This kind of language, you know. We should be able to understand with each other in that way. That is, you know, Rojinsu, the sixth supernatural power of Arahant. They understand things completely, you know. They understand something which is beyond words. They understand something which is taught by Japanese or, you know, English, and more than that. That kind of relationship should be in teacher and disciple, even though they are living apart from teacher. There must be that kind of communication, or else he is not, you know, teacher or disciple. How that is possible is, you know, because of our true practice, Zazen practice. Generally speaking, actually, before you become your teacher's disciple, you may receive his transmission. And, you know, after receiving transmission, long, long time after you receive transmission, you will realize what was transmission, who was your teacher, or he was my teacher. You will realize it when it is too late, maybe. But you will come to that point if you continue your practice. So there's no need to worry, even though you receive transmission or a lay ordination before you don't know exactly what it was. Even though you ordained before you have not much understanding about ordination ceremony. That is okay, I think. If you you know, feel some commitment to continue your practice, then it is okay. Someday you will realize it. I thought, you know, from the beginning, you know, I thought Gyokujin Son was my teacher, you know. But on the other hand, after many, I found out that many years later, I was not his disciple at that time. I thought I was, you know, I had a strong conviction of my being disciple of my teacher. But I found out that I was not his disciple in its true sense. Now I think I am, you know, his disciple. But I don't know how I feel next year. Next year I may say, oh, last year I was his disciple year. In this way, you know, your teacher is always with you. Sometime with you, but sometime you feel he is not your teacher. Or he was not your teacher. And sometime he will not be your teacher. But it is okay. Anyway, you will be his teacher. Teacher and disciple is, you know, that kind of relationship. Day after day, we have strong conviction in our relationship, but that is not complete. It's our relationship should be extended forever. So you are anyway bound to be your teacher's disciple. But it does not mean, you know, you should stick to the idea of relationship between teacher and disciple. Whether you stick to it or not, relationship is there. Buddha, you know, is taking care of it, whether you understand it or not. Our relationship between teacher and disciple is so wide and so deep that we cannot, our small mind cannot understand what it is. There is no other way to understand the relationship between teacher and disciple. So only way, you know, to, you know, day by day, you should bow to him. You know, that is the only way. It is day-to-day practice, and practice just for that moment. Even though you don't bow to him, you are related to him anyway. So if you don't feel good. If you do, you feel good, that's all. It is not so difficult thing to bow to him. So better to bow to him. Even though you don't know who he is. Perhaps you may not understand what I'm saying right now. But actually, if you have someone who can trust, you will feel good. And if you have someone who entrusts your responsibility, you feel good. You know. In that way, we can, you know, live forever. We will have eternal life. Entrusting our responsibility, as sharing our responsibility with many people. That is, you know, relationship between teacher and disciple. And that is why we recite sutra for our teachers every morning. Thank you very much.